This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Nerds! Today's episode is sponsored by Smart Travel, a new podcast from NerdWallet. Want to travel like a savvy jet setter? No, that doesn't mean monogramming your passport. It means making smart decisions every step of your trip, which means knowing your options. Smart Travel unpacks the facts, like which booking sites actually save money, how to fly first class using points, and if that fancy travel card is a smart investment, all so you can save more on your next adventure. Follow Smart Travel from NerdWallet today and start traveling like a pro.
What is... Dax, are you...
Tracking all our cars on Carvana Value Tracker? On all our devices? Yes, Kristen, yes I am.
Well, I've been looking for my phone for...
In Dax's domain, we see all. So we always know what our cars are worth.
All of them?
All of them. Value surge! Trucks up 3.9%!
That's a great offer.
I know. Sell?
Sell.
Track your car's value with Carvana Value Tracker today.
Welcome back, guys. DGS on KMOX. A few minutes past 4 p.m. Beautiful day out there. As Dave Murray was saying, the time changes on Sunday. The sunset's going to be 7:02. And then Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, it's above 70 degrees. So life's going to be good here. Matt Paul, are you coming home next week, buddy?
He's coming home tomorrow.
Tomorrow.
Sweet.
Yay.
Yes.
Yes. You have done your job,
Too
donkey.
Too much sunshine and baseball and ocean.
No,
It's tough. No, it's true.
You remember being away from your
girl. You know, it's brutal. It's brutal. And you don't get to see the ocean very often. Like,
right.
It's not like that's where you're going every day. You might get there once or twice the whole time you're there if you're lucky.
Matt, did you ever get your...
I got there once for about 10 minutes. Yeah,
there
my daughter asked for a seashell. And when the Cardinals had the off day this past Monday, I still had Gas House Gang. So I made sure to get up and get going and got to the beach. It was raining. I walked out to the beach. I picked up the seashell. I tried to walk on the pier. I didn't realize that you had to pay money to walk on the pier. So I went through a door and this woman comes yelling at me saying, I can't walk on the pier without paying. I'm not going to pay to walk on a stupid bridge, basically.
Right.
So I turned around. So my my time spent even beach adjacent is under 10 minutes.
Yeah.
Matt, what's something that, and it doesn't even have to be baseball related, you have your own world down there now. What's something that you will miss the routine of?
Oh, that's a good question.
I love when Matt says ask a good question.
What's something that I... Look, when I'm able to go out for a nice dinner, there's really good restaurants, but that's not part of the routine because I haven't been out to that many nice dinners. Look, there's nothing I'm going to miss. I like going to the ballpark every day, okay. But I get to do that at home. I love baseball. I love being around the game of baseball, but I get to do that all summer long at Busch Stadium. So... No, I'm very happy to be watching baseball in St. Louis moving forward.
So, Matt, there are a million stories, and you've been to many of these, but how's the vibe this time?
We're prisoners of the moment, right? So maybe if I could transport myself into spring trainings of years past, I would feel the same way. But I really feel like the amount of just steady work that's going on here is the best that I've seen. For example, a Victor Scott II, he shows up to the ballpark every day and he's out in the outfield working with John Jay. And that happens, we generally get into the clubhouse, us in the media, we get 1 hour a day in the clubhouse in the morning and it's generally either at 8 or 8:30 in the morning, ending at 9 or 9:30. That work that Victor Scott is doing happens before we even get to the ballpark. So we're talking about guys showing up every morning, 6 o'clock, 7 o'clock in the morning, doing this extra work and then getting in and having breakfast and going out for the actual team workout that's required after that time. And I think more guys have that that routine where there's even more work going on in the morning. That just seems to be part of what's going on here. So I think that that's the thing that stands out to me, is the amount of really intentionality when it comes to the work that's going on.
So we've talked a lot, Matt, on Gas House Gang, on the evening sports updates and all that. We talked about almost everything you can think of with this team so far. And we're getting to about the halfway point of the spring, maybe not quite the halfway point of the schedule of spring training, but not too far from it. Is it fair to say that Victor Scott has maybe done the most to help himself of the people that needed to help themselves? Because obviously there are, large number of guys on the team that are just, they're secure in their spots.
Yeah, that's fair. And he was hitting close to 600 before today's game, so that'll play. I would love to be able to get into like the head of Oliver Marmol and John Mozeliak and know just how they view this outfield situation. Because today Lars Nootbaar started in center field and we saw Scott again in left field. We've seen that happen a lot. So Scott's done a really nice job. I think Lucan Baker is another guy who's done a really good job in putting himself in a great spot. He's hit 3 home runs so far. Power off the bench is something this team did not have last year, and they don't really have this year. I think Jose Barrero's done nice work trying to position himself, especially with the fact that Michael Hellman doesn't even have a hit yet in spring. You need somebody who can be your backup shortstop. So Barrero is another guy that's helped himself. Despite their performances today in the bullpen, I think Roby and Graceffo have done good work. I'm rambling on at this point. There's a bunch of guys who've done good work. I think you can put Scott at the top of that list.
Yeah, and he's a guy that you would think that you would be gearing everything toward leaving that pathway open to him to go out there and do what he's doing, which is win a job. You're not going to just hand him a job, but like he should have been. I think he's a guy that, and I'll be curious to see how they handle this moving forward, that, man, there's a door open, and if he bursts through that door, it's almost impossible to me to say, no, you have to go back to Memphis.
That's the way I view it. We're very like-minded in this, and you can make Michael Ciani your fourth outfielder. You cannot make Victor Scott II your fourth outfielder. So either he is a starting outfielder or he's in Memphis. And if he, and the other thing I would say is, because there's going to be people who are listening to this and they say, well, didn't Scott look great in spring last year? And he wasn't very good once the season got started. I'm not a big eye test guy, but this is one time where the eye test is important. This looks different. There's more pop off his bat. There's more power. He doesn't look overmatched in the outfield. If you were to watch Victor Scott II play spring training games last year and watch him play this year, even if many of the numbers are similar, let me be the person who's sitting here in Jupiter, Florida, tell you it looks different.
No, and it's definitely not. It's definitely not the same, because I mean, what has to be considered here is something beyond just what the batting average tells you, right? I mean, we have to look at things like quality of contact. Like, as an example, Victor Scott already has as many stolen bases as he had all last spring, and he had twice as many games played then as he does right now. So just throw that in as an example. The quality of his contact, last year his average exit velocity in spring training was 86 miles an hour. You know that. I know that. That is below major league average. Major league average about 88 and a half. He's at 91 now, which would be high end. Like that's like top 25% in Major League Baseball. That's what sluggers are doing. So he's made a noticeable physical change. Like in the performance is not just hitting singles, hitting doubles. It's how are you getting there? And he's hitting the crap out of the ball. So those are the things that are way more important for fans. If you're looking at what matters and what doesn't in spring.
This is Victor Scott.
Victor Scott, yeah. Right. So last year, Victor Scott hit 300 in spring. He did a pretty good job. Stole 4 bases. But you look at the damage that he's doing. I think he only had 1 or 2 extra base hits all of last spring. If I remember correctly, he had 1 triple and that was it. He's already got like a couple of doubles, a triple, a home run. And this isn't, again, half the number of games. So the quality of his contact has dramatically improved. keeping in mind that he's still got another couple of weeks to keep doing this.
So there's no great bravery or genius in predicting that a future Hall of Famer is going to have a good season. But I do believe gut and eyeballs that Nolan Arenado is going to have a good season this year. Matt, how much does that complicate things for John Mozeliak if he does?
I think it complicates things if the team is playing well. If the team's not playing well, then it's not complicated. You wait till somebody gives you a really good offer and you are always open to trading them. Where it complicates things is if the team gets off to a hot start, how in the world do you trade Nolan Arenado if he's playing at a really high level? And that's going to be something that plays. I think this team is going to have an okay season this year. And at some point in time, there's going to be an injury or there's going to be something that happens. And a deal is going to come across John Mozeliak's desk. And he's going to have to make the decision on whether or not they want to stay the course with Arenado or whether or not they want to move him and start this process that they've been trying to go forward with.
And Matt, just watching TV, Nolan looks physically really good. Is it the same way in person?
Yeah, he looks great. Bat speed's up so far here in spring, which is quite good.
A bit.
Significantly. And do you know the numbers on his average right now? I was looking for that the other day, and I couldn't find it for spring because he was at about seven.
On his regular performance?
For this year, what his bat speed average?
Oh, his bat speed. Yeah. Last year, his bat speed would have ranked in Major League Baseball, ranked, I think, in the 35th percentile.
Right.
Which means 65% of hitters had faster bat speed than Nolan Arenado. And he is at a point now where he would be in like the top 10%.
Yeah.
If it were something that he could maintain. So I don't remember the exact number that he was at last year, but I want to say it was
like 69
miles an hour, something like that. It's 74 right now.
Okay.
And people think that's not a big, again, that's the difference between being in the bottom third and being in the top 10%. Like that's how big of a difference that is. So, and again, it's not a lot of games. So you have to be able to maintain that over 6 months.
And what's Victor Scottish?
Right now?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, his bat speed is not going to be his strength. I mean, it's not bad, but it would be more in the league average range. He's getting his hard contact, though, because he's getting better pitches to hit. So he's getting more quality. So exit velocities and all that are up because he's not making as much weak contact. So the bat speed is one element of getting exit velocity.
Yeah.
But a bigger part of it is, are you hitting the sweet spot? Are you hitting the ball properly, squarely, instead of hitting the top of the bottom of it, either popping it up or hitting it into the ground? And Victor Scott does not have the bat speed and is not going to be that guy. Although I bet he can be above average. I mean, I think he could be an average to above average guy. But what he has, and this is why bat speed's so important for Arenado, he has a long swing. So his bat takes longer to get through the zone than most. Victor Scott has a short swing. So that's where you can kind of balance those two things.
Do we have any indication how Ollie's going to handle the catching?
No decisions have been made. It's fun. Yeah, questions are asked about the lineup and things like that every single day. And Ollie either finds a creative way to answer or just doesn't answer at all. This is not something he's ready to move forward with.
No, would you agree, Matt? I think you agree with me on this. That's just probably something that's going to develop as the season goes along. Like, I don't think they're going to have a plan on opening day.
You're the starter.
That this is our starter and this is the backup. I think they've got two catchers, and they're going to play it based on what the team needs at a given moment and then which of them's playing better. You know, if Herrera's killing it, he's probably going to play. If Pajes is wildly outperforming him defensively, he's probably going to play. Like, I think it's going to be determined by regular season.
Yeah, as Jay-Z likes to remind us, men lie, women lie, numbers don't. So at the end of the day, we're going to look at the numbers all the way around, and those are going to help dictate that decision.
Look at you quoting Jay-Z.
Matt, it's time for you to come home, my friend.
He's down there. What next thing we're going to have, like, you're going to be throwing shade at Drake next. Not that that's Jay-Z. I'm not that dumb.
All right, thank you, pal.
That's his, I don't know. We'll talk to you guys later.
Get home to your girls.
Yes.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
It's that time of year again. My schedule is packed with bracket-busting, three-point shooting, nonstop basketball action. I don't want to miss a second of it. That's why I go for a five-hour energy shot. They're perfect for my days packed with back-to-back games or whenever my favorite team is playing late. Five-hour energy keeps me going during the broadcast and the next morning when I need to get myself up and to work. Visit 5hourenergy.com for great deals and to stock up before tip-off.
Think warm. Think palm trees. Think baseball. Hi, I'm MLB.com's Matt Monaghan. The long, dark freeze is over, and spring training is finally here. If you're a baseball fan looking for a quick, easy way to get all the scores, top stories, and best sound bites from Florida and Arizona, you're in luck.
I don't think people realize how good we are. I don't even know if we realize how good.
The Morning Lineup Podcast, a short, less than 10-minute baseball highlight show, is available anywhere on any platform you listen to podcasts on, 5 days a week. We can't wait to meet you there.
For DGS. Rach, what's the deal with YouTube and kids' social media?
So in Australia, they've banned all this social media for kids. Like, they can't use TikTok, they can't use Facebook, they can't use Twitter. But YouTube is exempt from that. YouTube for kids is exempt for some reason, even though other social media companies are claiming, like, hey, they have just as addictive algorithms as we do. Why does YouTube get to be exempt? So they're putting up a fuss. We'll see if they're going to make a change in the future.
Interesting.
To see if they
I don't view them as being the same thing, are they? Like, I mean, like, is the difference that maybe Australia is differentiating, is it maybe not the algorithms, but more the way things are presented? Like, there's no interaction. There's no back and forth on YouTube, right? There's nobody stitching somebody else. There's nobody commenting on Instagram or on Twitter or whatever, you know, fighting back or anything. Because I think of YouTube differently than I think of those, but I don't know if I'm right.
I think the sticking point is, let me just open up this article here and I can be a little bit more accurate. But I think the algorithm is the sticking point okay. for people. They're like, all right, well, you want to keep these kids addicted to these apps. Part of it is safety, I'm sure. Like, we don't want grown men sliding into a child's DMs and talking to them, which is something that does unfortunately happen. And, you know, there were very ill-conceived things like Instagram for kids, Instagram for people under the age of 13. Who thought that was a good idea? Luckily, Meta has shut that down because enough people came out and said, this is ridiculous. But yeah, Meta is saying a young person with a YouTube account experiences the features outlined by the government to justify the ban, including the algorithmic content recommendations.
Fascinating.
And exposure to harmful content.
It is interesting that algorithms are targeting people the same way that advertising has for however long advertising has existed, right? Because there have been all kinds of studies about what appeals to people, what appeals to your subconscious mind you're not even aware of, right? Like, you'll see car commercials where the ground is wet and the car's got water in it because that puts an image in your mind that is subconscious, but it still affects how you perceive that product. And we see that kind of stuff all the time. And I'm interested in that
back and forth,
that difference between, well, why is one form of manipulation okay, but not another one?
My guess would be because the algorithm is just designed to trap you there. And if you see a car with beads of water on it on a billboard, there's not 40 other billboards waiting behind it. You know, it's not like, oh, swipe and show me the next one. that's my guess as to why one is considered bad and the others are
and
like,
one's in your possession all the time, right?
Exactly.
Your phone or your iPad or whatever.
Exactly.
As opposed to being in the car driving down the highway and seeing them as you're going down the highway.
And I don't have this in front of me, but Albania has put a kibosh on TikTok for an entire year because of the harmful content that it was showing kids. And, you know, there are obviously people in opposition saying this is you're infringing on freedom of expression, but a lot of people are saying, like, good, let's take a year and work out these laws.
You know who
laws.
Infringes on my expression?
What's that?
You guys.
Why?
When I sent you my latest horse hospice photo and you did nothing but make fun of me.
I said, finally, the algorithm gets it right.
They can't be letting that horse in that old folks home.
I don't remember what I said.
It wasn't nice.
Oh.